From KLCC Media, this is the Oregon Grapevine. I'm Barbara Dellenbach. The Oregon Grapevine highlights fresh-pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live. Cynthia Beal is the founder of the Natural Burial Company and a cemetery proprietor. She describes herself as a sustainable cemetery evangelist, and she's old Eugene Slug Queen, Radia. Thank you very much, Cynthia, for joining us today on Oregon Grapevine. I'm glad you're here and appreciate your taking the time to talk with us. Let's start with your title. You call yourself a sustainable cemetery evangelist. What is that?
Well, a sustainable cemetery evangelist is somebody who would evangelize for the sustainable management of cemeteries. And by that, I would, you know, I would have a caveats around the word sustainable and around the words management. But a cemetery is pretty self-explanatory. We've had cemeteries all over the planet for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Cemeteries are one of our oldest artifacts in terms of culture. If you take a look at where we know most of our things about our human history, they come from examining graves, right? So a cemetery is a place in perpetuity where we have done a lot of things over time. Currently in the United States, it's where we bury and remember our dead, who are usually the people we've loved and the people who have created the communities in which they're buried. And so I advocate for the sustainable operation of cemeteries such that they are places of cultural and personal remembrance, places of peace, places that support nature and the wildlife that loves to inhabit it when we let them. And in particular, and probably most uniquely, for the last 16, 17, 18 years, I've been promoting natural burial, which is the return of our bodies back to the earth, to the soil in which it came in a really natural form that allows for decomposition such that we can become a part of and nourish a cemetery landscape.
I have heard natural burial referred to green burial, and I know you have some elucidation around that.
I guess it's not really right or wrong. There's sort of two levels to this. First of all, a lot of people have something that they mean when they use the word green, and it's different from person to person. So we'll have a lot of debate about what green really is and what green means. And if you're trying to communicate with people, setting us up to immediately disagree about the first term in the phrase isn't helpful. So green means different things to different people. And according to the Federal Trade Commission in the United States, because green has meant so many different things and because green is a marketing term, the word green itself has become highly regulated. And the FTC has spelled out some real stringent guidelines as to when you can use the word, what it has to mean when you use it, and what sort of modifiers have to accompany it if you're describing any kind of a product or a service that you're selling. So a long time ago, back when I was running a natural food store, we got the green debate going back in the 90s over disposable paper goods and diapers. I think diapers was the thing that really kicked the green conversation around the corner. When was a diaper green and when it wasn't? And that kind of led to the FTC's rules down the road, but it also led to the FTC saying, well, the word natural doesn't have that much of a debate. It's been in a long-term usage in the country. And so the FTC specifically said, we're not regulating the word natural here. We're only regulating the word green. And so for me, that was just a no-brainer. I wasn't about to call it the green burial company for my biodegradable coffins. I was going to call it the natural burial company because I always used that term. And then, of course, in the last 20 years, the word green has become extremely politicized. And there's a lot of people who won't have anything to do with something if it's labeled green. And when you helicopter up and you look at death and how universal it is, I didn't want to get myself into the trap of alienating people or keeping them from exploring the idea of a natural burial, an environmentally sound return to the earth, or ashes to ashes, dust to dust, with the first word out of my mouth, which would be green. And so natural burial seemed to open the door and keep minds open. And my mission was to help people see that a natural burial was possible and legal. And if they wanted it, they could have it.
You brought up the term ashes to ashes. I know there are people who believe that cremation is much more natural than burying someone in a box with polyester lining and metal and so on. Is cremation all that? Is it all that natural?
I think a lot of people would say cremation was probably not natural, but in their minds, it was more environmentally sound than burial in that metal box, going in a concrete box with an embalmed body. And what I saw and what I see is, rather than just a straight either-or dichotomy, I see a continuum where you possibly have an embalmed body inside a metal casket that's lined with polyester upholstery and padding, and the person's in non-natural fabric clothing, and that casket goes into a concrete box. You can put that on one end of the environmental continuum, for example. And then you could certainly put cremation closer to the environmental side, just by nature of the fact that all of that stuff is not being used, and it's not being made in the first place. It doesn't have the toxic byproducts from its manufacturers. It doesn't have all of this embedded energy and embedded toxicity. It's a relatively straightforward process. And there are ways to be cremated that use a lot of energy, and there are ways to be cremated that don't use a lot of energy. So I'm going to park that for a moment. Where I sit in this continuum, in this stream of possibilities, is, first of all, I kind of say my little catchphrase is, why burn the dinner? I look at my body as a soil, walking soil, an animated soil cycle is what I like to call me. And, you know, I create my body from the food that I eat and the things that I drink. And it turns that stuff originally all came from soil, every single bit of it. So I'm really walking around soil. And if I put my body, or somebody puts me when I'm dead, inside an oven and turns that temperature up and turns me to ash within several hours, yeah, it breaks me down. I do get into a somewhat semi-natural form, albeit maybe the calcium in my bones is extremely bound and might not release as fast as I'd like. But, yeah, I'm relatively simply reduced, but I'm burned. And I didn't supply food to this huge host of bacteria and microbes that would be digesting me if I were in the soil and, you know, going about my oxidation or my reduction, which is the kind of a chemical term for it, naturally. I mean, truly naturally, the way mammals have broken down and animals have broken down as long as we know we've been dying and turning back into dirt. There's another layer to this either-or choice, however, which I didn't want to get stuck in, because a lot of people have asked me over the years, well, what do you think is better, Cynthia? You think it's better to be cremated, or do you think it's better to be buried? And I have to remind all of us that the last thing we do with our bodies is, for billions of people on this planet, a spiritual choice. It's a personal choice. It's a deeply psychological, personal journey that ends with whether we want to be buried or cremated. And I believe that decision is best always left up to the individual making it. And I didn't want to get into the position of casting aspersions on somebody because they were going to get cremated, or somebody else because they were going to get buried. I feel like it's real important to be judgment neutral in that realm. You know, there are religions, there are spiritual practices that say if you get buried, that's the worst thing that can happen to you, and your spirit has to be consumed in fire in order to be released. And there's a whole other class of people that says burn the heretics and, you know, bury the godly. And again, no judgment on either one of those, but they're two completely opposite positions that have absolutely no resolution. And so I didn't want to go down that road. I will say that as I have done this journey now for almost 20 years with people, many of the people who say they want to be cremated then say, I did want to be cremated, and I wanted to be cremated because I thought it was the more environmental option when compared to the choice that was presented to me. But if I could be buried naturally in the ground, I could be in a biodegradable coffin or a shroud, I could go back to the soil, I wasn't embalmed, and I was feeding microbes and bacteria and roots and trees and living things, then my goodness, that's what I want.
What are the options for natural burial? Can I be put into the root ball of a tree? In Oregon, does it have to be in a cemetery? Can I be in my backyard? What are kind of the overview specifics about what is allowed?
So let's just start with the can first, the mechanics of it. Obviously, you started out with, can I be buried in the root ball of a tree? And if we just put our logistical caps on here and we imagine we're trying to bury Sarah, who wanted to be buried in the root ball of a tree, and now all of a sudden we've got to dig a big hole next to the roots of a tree, and it just is not that practical in actual life. But obviously we could bury Sarah in some place where a tree could eventually be planted, and then that tree could be planted on top of her. And according to one farmer friend of mine who buried his dad out on the edge of his pasture, he planted a tree on top of dad, and he said, you should have seen that tree at about age 3. He said, when that tree's roots hit my father, it was just a joy to behold. You could see the tree discover that little, you know, pot of nourishment down there in the ground and just shoot up and flourish. And so obviously that's a wonderful idea, right? So my friend being able to do that here in Oregon brings the answer, yes, you can, and yes, you may here in Oregon. However, there are lots and lots of caveats when we get into the world of May that have to do with land use laws that vary from county to county, and prohibitions that become stronger when you're in the city. But yes, in the state of Oregon, burial on private property is allowed, which is probably the most likely place in private property land you would be able to turn into a tree. And the reason for that is a tree requires quite a bit of space for its final root footprint. Think about a big mature tree where its root zone is reaching out to the edge of where its branches extend. And you go to a cemetery and you imagine that amount of space, and you could be talking 20, 40, 50 grave spaces which would be a significant cost that most people would not want to spend if they were getting buried in a cemetery. So I think I covered most of your questions there in that, yes, you can be buried on private property, and the state of Oregon does offer an information packet. You have to check with your county to find out if you have the minimum number of acres in which to do that, because the minimum acreage varies from county to county, as well as who can be buried on your private property. You want to bury your neighbors and your friends, the county rightfully asks, well, have you just started a cemetery? So the counties have different rules for what the family relationships are that are allowed to be buried on your property, and what the maximum number is, and all of that. And so that's an exploration. That also is something that if you know you want to do it, it has to be done well in advance. There's a lot of preparation, not even necessarily with respect to the property use itself and the logistics of that, but there's a death certificate and a burial process and a post-death body management process that is complicated and has to be followed by most people. In my world, that's called the funeral side, which is the management of the body from the place of death to the place of disposition, which would be either the cemetery or the crematory. And I kind of pick up both in supplying the natural coffin or the shroud to people with my natural burial company hat on, or supplying the place of burial in the now three cemeteries that I manage here in the area.
Do most cemeteries allow natural burial? Is that something that is starting to happen? You, and I'm sure a few other people, specifically that's what you want, and you want to make that possible, and you're not going to do this other kind of burial. Are kind of regular cemeteries that we walk through coming around to realizing that it's an option people want?
So first of all, let me say that each of the cemeteries that I operate is a historic cemetery that has been doing burials since the 1850s. So my personal focus is transitioning existing cemeteries to natural practices. I don't in any of the cemeteries reject out of hand the conventional methodologies, although in the two cemeteries I've run for the last 7 years, we don't offer brand new graves to people that are going to be embalmed and going to be in the vaults. The burials are going anywhere in our cemetery as natural. We do have a few spaces that we still permit brand new people to have a conventional vaulted burial. So it's under real tight circumstances. So unlike a lot of cemeteries where they are now offering natural burial, but you'll find natural burial off in the corner or in a section, and they do the conventional burial in the rest of the cemetery, we're kind of the reverse of that. We offer natural burial anywhere. One of the reasons I do this is because when the caskets were buried here in the 1850s and 60s and 1910s, by our Oregon pioneers, they were woven caskets, or they were shrouded bodies, or they were pine boxes that would decompose. So all of the old cemeteries around the country that have been operational prior to World War II are full of natural burials. So natural burial is nothing new. There was just sort of this aberration in the middle. I'm going to call it an aberration, and I apologize if some people are offended by that. I don't think it was a smart detour to put us off into the concrete and the plastic, and so I consider it a detour. So there's a chunk of time that in the cemeteries I have right now, I've probably got, 70 years worth of burials where that convention was common, the embalmed body in the vault. And now we're switching back to natural, and the natural burial income that's coming in now from our burials and the monuments that we sell that supports the cemetery is helping to sustain and maintain that chunk of 70-year burials in those boxes. Because if we weren't doing that, if we weren't transitioning this existing footprint, then it would face abandonment. If I were, for example, to have gone off and started a pristine new natural burial ground on some piece of land that had no cemetery impact, I would be introducing a new human impact, a permanent impact on the land, and albeit it would be natural, I would be taking burials away from the existing cemetery, which is never going to be anything else but a cemetery. And so in my mind, when I put my business and thinking about the community long-term hat on, which is sustainability, I said to myself, oh, we have to repurpose the existing cemeteries if we want to keep them vibrant and help them change course. Just like you would take in a conventional farm 20, 30 years ago, a lot of the farmers that I worked with when I was running the store, you know, we were pioneering the organic vegetable and meat movements, and conventional farms were being shifted over and transitioned into organic agriculture. And so while I don't call what I'm doing organic cemetery management, we are doing much more, we have a sustainable landscape management approach, and we are transitioning the conventional practices into what we think are more sustainable ones. Many, many cemeteries right now, I guarantee, if they're run by small little nonprofit boards, they are offering natural burial, or they are having board meetings trying to figure out how they should do it and what they should charge and how they should describe it. And when people call me from around the country, they say, hey, I don't know where to get a natural burial near me. I say, well, go drive around and visit the cemeteries within a 20, 30-minute radius where you would like to be. Visit them and talk to them and see, you know, look around. Are they old? Do they have some sections or areas where they can still do natural burial? Talk to the management. Offer them a little more money. And quite often what you'll find is that the cemetery is ready to do it. And the reason they aren't doing it doesn't have anything to do with the law. It is almost 100% a cemetery choice. And so the cemetery could turn around tomorrow at its next board meeting or at its next management meeting and say, are we ready to offer natural burial? And if they said yes, it would be done.
We didn't even talk about composting, because I know in Washington State that is something that is starting to happen.
I consider us doing composting. We are doing composting underground. The process you're talking about in Washington State is where the body is accelerated. Its reduction is accelerated in a container. So it'd be kind of like, you know, one of your above-ground compost bins mixed in with a bunch of chips and mycelial factors and other things that would accelerate the decomposition. We just do that underground when we bury a body. It goes into the ground in its biodegradable state, so it's able to biodegrade. And we add straw, which is cellulose, and if it's got a woven coffin, that's absolutely the best. And then we put myceliated chips in and have a whole, you know, piece that the family participates around that. So you got this little cell underground in the perfect decompositional temperature for the nice slow breakdown. So we consider natural burial composting already. Here in Oregon, the Washington process was, I think it was presentation on it to a bunch of folks in the industry last fall. And I think many of the people who are here in Oregon who are in the industry are very aware of natural burial. Almost everybody I've spoken to is open to it and thinks it's inevitable. And we just see the Washington process you're talking about as the natural burial process, but without the burial part of it, and maybe not even so much natural, you know, an accelerated decomposition. Personally, I think it would be ideal for the space station. You know, that was when I first became aware of it. I thought, oh, man, that is perfect for outer space. Or, you know, for dense metropolitan areas where it is hard to find soil that can be used this way.
I have learned some things. So I appreciate your time, and I thank you for what you're doing and for your insights.
Well, you're quite welcome. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with a larger audience the fact that, yes, you can have a natural burial. It doesn't require a certified burial ground. It doesn't require a lot of hoopla or law changes. Just get out there. If you're an organic food fan, remember what it was like 20 years ago when you had to go to the supermarket produce manager and say, will you please get the organic carrot? And go to your funeral home and go to your cemetery. The cemetery is the stumbling block. Go to your favorite cemetery and say, hey, I want a natural burial. What can I do to help you make it happen? And we are at that stage right now in the emergence of this movement. It is time for that.
Thank you very much, Cynthia.
You're welcome. Lovely. Take care.
You've been listening to KLCC Media's The Oregon Grapevine, fresh pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live.